Singing this morning, stay standing, go to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4, Philippians chapter number 4. This morning we'll read one verse together, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, we'll read it all together out loud. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Ready? The Bible says in Philippians 4, 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We'll pray. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to be in church this morning for Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for how precious it is to us. Lord, the instruction and wisdom it brings to life, the comfort that it gives to those that are in distress. Lord, we ask now that you'd be with this time. It's at hand. We've enjoyed the fellowship, the singing's been good. We've enjoyed all the activities of the morning. Lord, now we'll come to the most important time. May your Holy Spirit's presence be evident. Lord, it's a waste of time to be here if we're not yielded to you, if our hearts have not been prepared. And it's definitely a waste of time if you don't show up. Lord, it's been obvious that you're already here, but work continue through our hearts, through our minds. May the power of God flow as the word of God is preached. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be using this a lot today, but I want you to listen to me for a couple minutes. I don't know of another truth at this time of the year that I think could help the people in this church and in our area, in our country, our world, any better than this truth. I really mean that. If you'll just listen for a few moments, let me help you. My life has been spent helping people. I've lived my entire adult life helping people. There are two things that I hear people say that they want most in life. Seriously. If I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say they wanted one or both of these things, we could have paid for this building in cash. Those two things are this: I want understanding and I want peace. I want peace and I want to understand why. It doesn't matter how small or how big the problem, people are seeking peace and they're seeking understanding. Now, listen to me carefully. The whole sermon hinges on this. One of the things you need to know is this. Being a sinner means we want to be God. Genesis chapter 3. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he said, "In the day thou eatest, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil." You'll be able to determine what is right and wrong for yourself. You don't need God. You don't need the Bible. You could be your own God. Is that not the world we live in today?
Yes, sir.
And may I say this, because man wants to be his own God by being a sinner, then we think that understanding gives us the upper hand in every situation and with every person. We think if we can know the why of everything, that we have the upper hand. We are constantly seeking understanding, the whys. Like most things in life, we sinners get things backwards. We seek peace through understanding. We think if we can understand why something is the way it is or why it is, then we will gain peace from knowing why. I want you to notice what Philippians 4:7 says. God says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." God didn't say, "And the understanding that seeks peace." He said, "The peace that passeth all understanding." Notice that God does not say, now watch with me for a moment, God does not say the peace of a situation. God says the peace of God. Now, I don't know about you. I've had a lot of situations I don't have a whole lot of peace about. But if I could have the peace of God, the understanding doesn't matter. By the way, understanding why doesn't change what happened. Amen. Understanding why does not change the circumstance. If I could have the peace of God, not my peace, but the peace of God, it would surpass all understanding. Most just want peace for a decision. Most just want peace for a situation. Most just want peace for whatever hardship they're in right now. But God wants us to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Too many of us sinners want to know why and understand because we think understanding will give us peace. And we're looking at it from the wrong direction. We focus too much on the understanding. That old sinful nature pops up and causes us to want to control everything in life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Isn't it amazing? If you're 25 years old or older, there ain't nothing you thought life has changed in every which way since you planned it. If you get to be 55, you wonder if you planned anything right. And I can't talk past that because I haven't got past that yet, but I could ask Paula. Anyway, but we focus too much on the understanding of life. We want to control it. We're so selfish that we only care about peace for ourselves. Now, that's the foundation. Now we're getting to the real truth. This is the gravy on top of everything. Amen. This is the cherry on top of the whipped cream. This is what the whole sermon is going to be built on. This is the truth that will change your life. Notice that God says his peace passeth understanding. That means this. Brother Josh, I'm going to borrow you for a moment. If you'll stand up here, I want you to stand right in the middle and face that direction. Leave room for me to pass by. You face a difficulty. Your difficulty's right here. This is understanding. This is peace. You're seeking the understanding of the situation. And God says when he gives you his peace, it will pass understanding. Amen. But notice peace has to come from behind to pass. It's lagging behind a little bit. You don't get it first. You may end up with the peace and eventually the understanding will catch up. It may be that understanding never catches up. There are some things you'll not understand. Thank you, Brother Josh. It's kind of like when you drive down the highway, Route 9 or Route 81. You're in the right lane. You're doing the speed limit, and somebody's doing under the speed limit. Or, for some of you, you're driving well past the speed limit, but I try to keep it. But you come up on a car that's moving slower. The car was ahead of you, but you go to the other lane and pass it and get back in front of it. That is exactly what God says here about peace. The peace of God will come from behind and pass up the slower understanding and keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Too many of you want the understanding. God wants you seeking the peace. But you don't get the peace by understanding. You get the peace by God. Boy, that's good stuff. A problem or a heartache or a trial will come. You'll seek understanding in an effort to get peace. May I say something? You're not going to get it that way. The loss of a loved one may not make sense. The loss of a child may not make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Say, well, preacher, I want to understand. No, you need the peace of God more than you need understanding. I can't tell you. I can understand one thing. We're all sinners, and there's a wage on sin, which is death. Past that, no, I can't tell you exactly why people die, when they die. I can't give you those answers. But I can tell you this, we're all going to face it. Well, if I were God, that's the problem. You're trying to understand it and be God. Quit trying to play God. How about you seek the peace and not the understanding? You see, we seek peace by wanting to understand. May I say this? Even if you understood why someone died, they're not coming back to life. You'll not prevent their death. Well, maybe I could have prolonged it. Maybe, but you could also never prevent it.
That's right.
You see, God wants us to seek Him and His Word and obey it and get the peace we need, and that will surpass the understanding you're wanting. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'd rather have God than understand why something is. I'd rather have a close enough relationship with God where I trust Him and He trusts me and I have that peace that He gives me than to understand all the whys. Amen. 2 years ago, I stood right here and preached my own mother's funeral. I had the peace of God. I did not have the understanding. 2 years later, I understand a little bit more of why she passed. But even if I understood all of as the reasons why, she's still gone.
That's right.
She's in heaven. She's walking streets of gold. She's not in a wheelchair anymore. She's kicking her heels. She's cleaning and she's taking care of grandbabies and great grandbabies. Hey, I'll take that any day. I have the peace of God. You watched me do it. And the peace of God passed the understanding. Now watch this. The understanding really doesn't matter. Brother Aaron, I found out an awful lot in life. Very little of it do I have to understand. Everything about it. Marriage. You're never going to understand your spouse. Men and women don't think the same. By the way, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
I love helping younger families, young married couples. They think, well, this is just such an adjustment. Duh. Did you think it was going to be really easy? Welcome to the rest of your life, amen. There are just some things you're never going to understand. Fellas, if God made you a man, there are some things about a woman you will never understand and be thankful for.
Amen.
Ladies, if God made you a lady, just be thankful. You'll never understand totally what a man's thinking.
Amen.
Yeah. Sometimes they're not thinking. That's the problem. I get it. Now, wait a minute. But if you'll learn to have the peace that comes from it, you'll not worry about the understanding, and the peace will blow understanding away. Do I agree with my wife on everything? Of course not. I said not. No, we don't. But we have peace. Do I agree with everybody on every decision they make? No. But I can still have peace. Do I like every situation that comes into my life? I do not. There hasn't been one day this week, not one day this week, I haven't gotten word of a death. Not one day. Do you understand, preacher? No, but I sure do have the peace of God. Let's look at this peace of God. which passeth understanding for a few moments. Number one, God is the source of peace, not man. God is the source of peace, not man. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Back just a few pages. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse number 53. I'm sorry, 33. Romans 15, verse 33. If you have verse 53, you have the wrong Bible. Romans 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Notice what God says here. He is the God of peace. That means peace comes from God, correct? Turn to John chapter 14. Very familiar passage to many. John chapter 14, look at verse number 26. I love this passage. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice God says that he is going to give us peace. You can't give something if you don't possess it.
Amen.
And he said, I'm not going to give it like the world does. I'm going to give it to you through the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You're in Philippians. Go back just a few pages. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show you something that many of you have passed by and never realized. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what's the next one?
Peace.
Oh, look at me. It says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian. It is the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things. My peace I give you. Oh. How do we get this peace? Through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Therefore, peace is a part, or peace is something that is spiritual. It's not tangible.
Amen.
It's not physical. It's not emotional.
Amen.
Peace is not emotional. It is spiritual. God made man body, soul, and spirit, correct? The soul and the spirit are different. This body, that's this amazing thing you see in front of you right now. That is the house of what I am. My soul is my personality, my intellect, my ability to communicate with you. My spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. Now watch this. That's why the lost world will never have peace. Because when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, his body didn't die right away. His soul did not die right away, but his spirit died. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two different spirits, one capital, one small. In other words, when a person gets saved, what is being saved is their eternal spirit. Lost man has no spirit. He's just body and soul like an animal. Matter of fact, animals have more sense than most lost people. Two bulls don't make a cow.
Amen?
Amen. Two roosters don't lay eggs. It doesn't happen. See, the animal world has more sense than lost man. But an animal is no different than a lost person in the sense that they only have a body and a soul. I have a beagle, a little white beagle. She is a chick with an attitude. She's sweet, she's kind, she's precious, but you'll never doubt what she's thinking. She doesn't like what you're saying, she'll turn her head and just look the other way. She's just like Snoopy on Peanut character, you know. You never doubt, just from facial features, what she's thinking. Wait a minute, she's got a personality. She has the ability to communicate. Now, she doesn't talk, all right? But a dog has a soul, but it has no spirit. It will not live forever. When it dies, it dies. Now, listen to this very carefully here. Peace comes from God. Comes through the Holy Spirit, through the spirit of man, to give us peace. It is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't develop it. It's something God gives us. And as we obey and as we do things in a spiritual way, God's peace then, a fruit of the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, through man's spirit, then gives us his peace. That means this: peace is not emotional. It's not physical. It is spiritual. That means only saved people can have peace. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Turn to Isaiah chapter 48, back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 48, look at verse number 22. Are you there yet? Okay. Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, I didn't say it. God did. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him. Jeremiah chapter 6. Next book over. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah chapter 8. Look at verse number 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, we've helped people, but there's still no peace. Look at verse 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and behold, trouble. Notice they were seeking peace. Peace does not come because you look for it. Peace is a result of a relationship with God. It is not the conquest of a situation. It is the conquest of you yielding to God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. At the end of a war, peace is declared by the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Guess what? I've already won. I've read the last chapter, and guess what? We win. But can I tell you something? I'm going through situations, and if I'm not careful, I'll try to conquest the situation to get peace. God says no. You worry about the understanding later. You build a relationship with me. You obey me. You yield to the Spirit, not to your flesh, not to your emotions. You don't do the things you want to do. And when you yield to me, you whip the flesh, and I'll give you a spiritual peace that passes all understanding. It does not come because you have victory in a situation. It comes by the relationship you have with God and the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. This is why many victories in life are so shallow and so hollow. Well, I got victory over that, preacher. How come I don't feel better? Because you did it in your flesh and you got no peace. You did it with your emotions and got no peace. It is a relationship with God and an obedience to the Word of God and yielding to the Holy Spirit and doing it God's way, not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Can I tell you something? Peace does not come just because you're looking for it. Peace comes because you're in a battle and you say, God, I know what I want to do. Peace is the picture I got yesterday of the neighbor property of my farm that I hunt. And the guy shot the 13-point buck that I wanted. He's massive. I think his mother was one of Bill's cows. I mean, it's a huge monster. I've seen him several times, but not with a gun in my hand. And the neighbor got him yesterday, and they took pictures. Can I tell you something? I was a little sad for about that long, but I'm happy the man who owns the property got it. I'm happy somebody got to harvest it and enjoy it. I wished it would have been me. But I got a nice 6-pointer. I'm not complaining. Had a 20-inch spread on the rack. Big monker. Wait a minute. I have total peace. Disappointed? Just that much. Slobbering a little bit. Envious a little bit, but he's left his jeans out there for several years. There's another one coming, amen? But I wonder how many victories we seek our way. We get it and say, I don't have the peace I thought I was going to have in that. Thought I would enjoy this more. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You get back at an enemy, and then you find out how hollow that is. I've watched people go through trials. Maybe a murder trial or some other kind of trial, and they won. And they'll tell you, no matter what the other person pays, it's still hollow. It still doesn't fix the problem. And that's true. Say why? Because it's not spiritual, it's physical, it's emotional. Not until you forgive someone will you have the peace that comes with that. Not until you do it God's way will you find the peace of God that passeth understanding. You see, our battle with the flesh is what causes that to be hollow. Secondly, are you ready? So first of all, God is the source of peace. Number two, our understanding is limited and flawed by our sinfulness. Let me say that again. Our understanding is limited and flawed because of our sinfulness. What is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God says, don't trust in your own understanding. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at several verses in this chapter and two more in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see this. The Bible talks about in the end days or perilous days. These are the days before Jesus comes back. It's not the end of the world, but it'd be the end of the time as we know it prior to Antichrist. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dangerous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's your alphabet soup crowd. Truce breakers, false accusers. That's the media. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Did you have family members this year that were mad at you because of the church and your Christianity? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses led captive, silly women laden with sins, led away of diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Educate, 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 educate. Nobody knows anything. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read two more verses, and then I'll pull up and park for a second. Verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That is religion in our society today. Let's have a little talk with Jesus and let's tell the story and let's have rock music and a band and let's have a show. Let's all sway and dance and say we praise God for a while and never hear a real truth. We have to listen to this very carefully. Our understanding is tainted by our sin. Our understanding is flawed by our sin. Our sinful nature causes us to think that we're as good as God is at our understanding. It is amazing to me how arrogant we Christians can be. Well, I know what God says here. Okay, how come you don't think the way he thinks then? This is why all of man's religion is about how good we are and the good things and the good traditions we're supposed to do. Everybody doing okay? Don't worry. The Pope having phone calls about embezzling money shouldn't surprise us. Preacher, are you afraid? Guy with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head doesn't scare me. Man says, well, I have to be as good as I can so I can be the most understanding person. So I'll get baptized. I'll join a church. I'll take all these classes and I'll learn all the doctrines and I'll learn all the traditions and we'll have all these holy days and we'll light candles and we'll pray with beads and we'll even pray through Mary because Mary's the mother of God and Jesus would have to listen to his mother. Boy, is that idolatry. Maybe our good works will outweigh our bad. You're a sinner. Isn't it amazing how much religion is based on how much good you do? I get up and say we're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And that death isn't just our bodies dying, but the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God said there's a penalty on sin, and that penalty is death and hell. God requires the same punishment on our sin as he did Lucifer's sin before man was created. Hell was not created for man, Matthew chapter 23. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was created before man was ever created. But when man listened to the devil in the Garden of Eden and committed the same sin, God's justice requires the same punishment. Would to God we would do that in Congress today. But God loved us enough, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, die, but have everlasting life. See, Jesus came and paid our sin debt for us so we didn't have to die and go to hell. He didn't do that for the devil and his angels. He did that for us. Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He won't. He gave salvation available to all people. It's whether you accept it or not. But I'm going to tell you something. Since he paid the price, he has the right to tell you how to get it. My new truck is supposed to be here in the next week or so. Do you think I'm going to go to the dealership and pick up my truck and tell them how they're going to accept whatever payment I want to give them? Why? They hold the title. God holds the title on eternity. He has the right to demand the terms. I don't care how good you are. I can go dressed in my shirt and tie and coat. I can tell them I'm the pastor of a church. I'm still going to have to come to the terms of the agreement. Everybody doing all right? I can tell them it identifies as being paid, and they're not going to say that. I like that. I'm sorry. But all of man's religion is about man trying to show God how good man is. When in fact, we're all sinners. You see, understanding is limited by our experience. Understanding is limited by our sinfulness. Understanding is far more than what you can see. May I say something? We humans don't understand as much as we think we do. Some of us may know a little bit more than others in some areas. But, Brother Mike, you don't want me working on your car. God knows that's the truth. Nobody else does either. Brother Barnes, nobody wants me doing electrical work. Colorblind people don't touch wires. That's how their hair gets real curly. All right? Brother Scott, you don't want me doing HVAC work. Now, wait a minute. I have an understanding of some of those things. But it doesn't mean you want me doing it. Say, why? Because I don't understand it like they understand what they do. Just like you don't understand pastoring the church like I do. Y'all see what I'm getting at here? Okay, hang on. Why is it that all of man's religion is about to show God how good we are when he knows we're sinners? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for whosoever shall be good shall be saved. Doesn't say for whosoever shall get saved and then be good, or I'll take it away, shall be saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. May 23rd, 1960, none of your business. 7, I was born to Mel and Sue Bush. Doesn't matter how good or how bad I was, doesn't change the fact of who my parents are. The moment you get saved, you're born into the family of God. The Bible uses a term, regeneration. It's a medical term. It means regened, regeneticized. When we get saved, we are reborn and we get the eternal spiritual genetics of God placed on our life. Amen. And those are genetics that you can't change.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. Lastly, so, first of all peace comes from God. Secondly, understanding is limited and flawed by our sin. Thirdly, let me wrap the sermon up quickly. God's peace comes from behind and passes understanding and keeps our hearts and our minds. Look at Philippians 4:7 again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, let me remind you, peace doesn't come from us. Peace comes from God. Understanding doesn't keep our hearts and our minds. Peace does. That word keep, Brother Josh likes soccer. To me, that's dumb. If I go that far, run that much, I can't beat somebody up, what good is it? But in soccer, there's a player on both teams called the goalie. He's sometimes called the keeper. He's protecting the goal. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep be the goalie of your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. God's peace will protect you from, protect your heart. What is the heart? That's the seat of all your emotions. And your minds. Wow. Isn't it amazing that peace of mind, peace of soul or emotion. I could cut down on your psychotic breakdowns. I could cut down on your nerve medication. Get the peace of God. It will keep your heart, that's your emotions, and your mind through Christ Jesus. We live in a world that's all freaked out. You know, 5 years ago, you could go to the store and sneeze, and people would say, God bless you. Now you go to the store and sneeze, and everybody's running away. Y'all know, you know, somebody's standing like, I don't have it. Thinking, there was a day when I said, don't you miss the days when you could cough and it was okay? Oh, yeah. Can I tell you something? There's life after COVID. Amen. The whole world didn't die. Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry for those that did. But I wonder how many have died of cancer, too. Amen. And car accidents. I wonder how many people have been killed by alcohol. Cigarettes and cancer. I could go down the list. You see, God's peace will protect your mind. Understanding will not protect your mind. God's peace will protect your emotions. Understanding will not protect your emotions. Just because you know why does not change the emotion. Just because you know why does not mean that your brain will have peace. Well, I would know why. You may know why, but you won't have peace that you're seeking. We need to quit seeking understanding and seek the relationship with God and let His help, His peace, pass understanding. I can't tell you how many times I've sat beside someone and said, can't tell you why, but I can tell you who. I can't explain all the whys, but I know this. God's grace and God's peace will kick in and it'll be okay. Amen. I don't understand all the whys. I don't. I got a pastor friend in Pennsylvania who'll have cancer surgery on Tuesday. I've got a brother-in-law with pancreatic cancer. My wife's uncle has B-cell lymphoma in his stomach and facing a lot of recovery here. I got word on Wednesday of two people that passed away on Wednesday. One on Thursday. One on Friday. One yesterday. One today. I could go down the list. Preacher, how do you do it? I have the relationship with Him and I have the peace of God that passes all the understanding. I don't need to worry about the why. I just got to trust Him. Amen. Have you ever driven in real heavy fog? I used to drive back and forth when the kids were in college in Kentucky. I'd drive Route 68 and go over those mountains. Oh, y'all know what I'm... If you ever driven 68, you know what I'm talking about. You look for the fog alert. And you know when you get to the tops of those mountains, it's going to be ugly. But if there's somebody ahead of you, you just hope to God that they know where they're going. Because all you can see is taillights. And if they drive off the side of the mountain, you're going with them. You figure they can see a little farther than you can see, so it must be pretty safe. Can I tell you something? When it comes to life, you don't have to see the end, but if you can see the one who sees, you're okay. Amen. I don't have to see for the cross, but I can see the one who sees. As long as I keep my eye on the one who sees, if you're following me, we're in good shape. Amen. Brother James, I don't always see the way, but I can see the one who knows the way. I can see the one who is the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Do you want the peace of God? Or would you rather just settle for understanding? I've met a lot of intelligent people that don't know much. I really have. They have more degrees than they have temperature. They know one thing real well in life, and that's it. And I feel sorry for them. They have no peace. Peace comes from God. God's peace comes by time and faith. Understanding is what we seek in the flesh. I'd rather have God than understanding any day. We need to quit seeking understanding. We need to seek a relationship with God so He can allow us to have His peace. May it be said of the people in this room today, does the why really matter? Does it? Brother James, we could both go down to the cemetery and you could see Miss Lily and I could see my mama. Brother Scott, you could see your wife. Brother Matthew, your wife. Miss Loretta, Miss Kathy, go see O.C. Everybody in this room. Even if we understood why, they're not getting out of there till the rapture. And knowing why doesn't change it. How about we just have peace? Is that not what Psalm 119, 165 is all about? Great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. You want to protect your emotions? Find the peace of God. You want to know how to think in a crazy, whacked out, weirded out world? Get the peace of God. He will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, you just seem like nothing rattles you. Oh, it does. But the peace of God kicks in real quick. By the way, it's a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of man. I can't develop it. It's something He gives me when I need it, not something I can get on my own. But I get it by being with Him, yielding to Him, reading what He has said to me, doing what it says, and that's how I have peace. I don't have to be like the world, just peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no peace to the wicked, saith my God to the wicked. Wow. Would you like to have peace that passeth understanding? God said it's available. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.